What's up, Northridge Church? It's so good to be together as a family. There's nothing like gathering together as the family of God. And we got family joining us from all over, from our physical location spread throughout the Rochester area to our online campus. And I just want you to know how grateful and honored we are that you are joining us here this morning. And have you ever heard of the placebo effect? You might have heard of this through the medical industry, through what they call a placebo treatment. And that word placebo just simply means fake or not real. And the way it kind of looks is in the medical industry, anytime they're trying to test a drug or some form of treatment on a certain ailment or disease, they will gather a pool of people, willing individuals, to try it out, and they'll do a study. And so they bring this pool of people in, and about 75% of that group of people will get the actual drug, the actual treatment. But around 25% of that pool of people will get what they call a placebo treatment or a fake treatment, not real, maybe just some sugar water. And here's what's amazing, as they've done this year after year after year after year in the medical industry, they've discovered that just the thought in someone's head that they were being treated for something was enough to begin the process of healing. It was enough to trigger something in their psyche to move them to actually healing, even though they weren't actually being treated. Now we know that this can work on the opposite side of the spectrum. You ever been on vacation? Everything's going great. You're enjoying the beach, the lake, the mountains. And all of a sudden, one night, someone wakes up and they are sick, right? They're throwing up and everybody gets out like the emergency, the vitamin C, all these vitamins to fix the problem. But just that thought in your head that you could be next is enough to almost move you to the flu. And the point I'm trying to make for all of us is we have to understand that our mind is powerful. What we think about, what sits in our heads, has a significant impact on our lives. In fact, a great book is called Winning the War in Your Mind. Craig Rochelle says this. He says, who you are today is a result of your thoughts in the past. Who you will become in the future will reflect what you think about today. Just pause and think about that statement. Who you are today is because of what you've been thinking about in the past, but who you will become is a direct result of what is in your head right now. Aliyah Crum from the secular world, she's a professor of psychology and a director of the Stanford Mind and Body Lab. She says this, our minds are not passive observers, simply perceiving reality as it is. Our minds actually change reality because your mind is powerful. And so over the next 6 weeks in this series we're calling Mind Field, we're gonna be talking about the power of your mind. We're gonna talk about the struggles that we have managing the tensions that sit in our head, and we're gonna give you strategies to use throughout this series with the topics that often land right here in our minds. Now, what's interesting about your mind is for years, for decades, scientists and researchers have tried to figure out all that happens right here in our head. But it's complex and it's difficult. But if you look at some of the research, what's amazing to me is around, in just a time period of 60 seconds, researchers would say you can have anywhere from 6 to 50 thoughts. In 60 seconds. It's happening right now, whether you know it or not. Some of you are thinking, I wonder what's for lunch today. Some of you are thinking, how long is this guy gonna be? Because I'm ready to go. And most of you, if we're honest, we're thinking, are the Bills gonna start their season off good or not? Right? We're all thinking, it's amazing that even in a short window of 60 seconds, we think without even really thinking. If you broaden that out to 24 hours, in a day, you have anywhere from 8,000 to 6,000 thoughts. It's like your mind never really stops. It's just constantly chugging along, thinking, putting thoughts in your head, whether you recognize it or not. Now, to make matters worse is what we often think about. Did you know that 75% of your thoughts are negative? And we wonder why our culture today has such a mental health crisis. is because what we are filling our heads with, it has this negative bias. We are constantly just telling ourselves negative things about our world, about ourselves, and we wonder what kind of impact that will have. And not only is that, but 95% of what you think is repetitive. And so if 75% of what we're thinking, we're just constantly thinking negative thoughts over and over and over again. And it's impacting our culture, our world, and who we are becoming. That's why this series, we are going to talk about how we, together as Christ followers, can leverage our mind to walk closely with God. In fact, Elia Crum says this. She says, it's essential. It's essential to recognize that mindsets are not peripheral, but central to health and behavior. If we truly want to tackle the disease and crisis of our time, we need to more effectively acknowledge and leverage the power of mindset. And so in this series, over 6 weeks, we're going to teach us through the power of God's word how you and I as Christ followers can leverage our mind to walk closely, more closely with God and become better disciples of Jesus. And we're going to start with God's word. We're going to start with what God says about how powerful your mind is. You see, in Romans chapter 12, Paul's speaking to the church in Rome, and he says this to him. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Okay, so he's teaching Christians that if we claim the name of Christ, we should be different than culture. If we claim the name of Christ, we shouldn't be following the world and their beliefs and their ways. He says we shouldn't conform to that, but we should be different. Now, the million-dollar question is, we all know, right? Man, okay, cool, but it's really hard. It's really easy to slip into the mentalities of this world, to act and look just like the world. So how do we not conform? How do we be different? Well, he answers the questions. He says, you will be transformed, you will be changed, you will be different by the renewing of your mind. It starts right here. Paul teaches us that the mind holds the power to transform your life. It has the ability to change who you are and who you become. That's why Craig Rochelle reminds us. He says, our lives, your life and my life, are always moving in the direction of our strongest thought. What we think, what sits here, shapes who we are. So let's pause for a second. And let's just think over the last 2 weeks, what's been consuming your mind? What have you been thinking about? And are you okay with those thoughts determining who you become? See, I think for many of us, our mind exhausts us. For many of us, our thought life is just completely out of control. For some of us, we're just like, I'm just so tired of the dark and depression that just kind of sits in my head. I want to break free from it. Some of us, we lose sleep because we constantly worry and worry about all the things that are happening in our life. For many of us, our thoughts are full of anxiety about our kids, our future, our degree, about what's going on at work, our finances, our marriage, right? It's like, can we ever just achieve a little bit of peace in our minds? We all want it, but it feels like very few people achieve it, right? We want peace of mind, and yet our minds are full of worry, anxiety, depression, lust, self-doubt, guilt, and shame. If we are honest, the majority of us would say the one thing we lack is peace of mind. So how does this work? And what is God, right? If I'm trying to follow God and Jesus, what does he want from my mind? I think Paul teaches us that in Philippians chapter 4. He gives us a window. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace, what we all long for, of God, which transcends all understanding, it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I think right here, Paul, through the word of God, teaches us what God desires for your mind and my mind. Two simple things, yet profound and hard to achieve. The first one that Paul teaches is what God desires for your mind is a peace that protects you. The Bible says that God will give you a peace that goes beyond all understanding, a peace that protects you from the chaos of this world. Now, I think if we all step back and just look at our lives, I think there's times where we achieve peace of mind. Do you know what usually happens? When life goes our way. Right? When things at work are good, sales are up, the business is booming. When things at home are calm, the kids are obedient, the marriage is going well, right? We achieve this temporary peace when life seems to just be going our way. But we all know life doesn't always stay that way, does it? We wish it would, but we know life has a way of throwing us curveballs, a twist and turns that we didn't plan for or we don't expect. And when those moments happen in our life, boom, there goes the peace. Things like a diagnosis or a health condition. Things like marital struggles. Things like rebellious kids or a loss of a job or struggles with sales. All these things, life throws us curveballs. And God says what he desires for your mind, no matter what comes, no matter what circumstances you face, I want a peace that will protect you from faulty thinking, from doubt, from disbelief, a peace that will cause you to live differently, to not conform to this world. The second thing that Paul teaches us, one, a peace that protects, and secondly, a strength in your mind to choose what you think about. You see, some of us, our thoughts are just out of control. It's like we've lost control of our mind, and God desires you to have the strength to actually be able to focus on what you think about. Right? What does Paul say? He says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's praiseworthy, whatever's excellent, whatever's lovely, he says, think about those things. That you should have a choice of what sits in your mind. And you need to learn and grow in the strength to overcome those unwanted thoughts that often creep in. So how do we get there? Well, this series is a journey to help us win this battle in our mind. And today I'm gonna offer you four strategies that come from a really amazing book called Still and Quiet Mind by Esther Smith. And I wanna read you a quote because I think she sets up these strategies just beautifully. She says this, she says, none of these strategies in this book will change your thought life on their own. Rather, the strategies I offer allow us to place ourselves before God so he can transform us. This renewal in Romans chapter 12, right, the renewing of your mind, does not happen through willpower or even replacing your thoughts with scriptures. This renewal is a work God does in us as we unite with him and receive from him the grace and the energy we need to change. Today I'm giving you four strategies that you're gonna see throughout this series on different topics that invade our mind. The first strategy is we gotta learn to observe and examine our thoughts. You can't fix what you don't know. And here's a lie that we believe, is we think if we just don't ever go into our thought life, if we don't process what's in our head, it won't affect us. But that's not the reality. What is in your head, whether you process it or not, is shaping who you are. And so I think the first step of understanding what's in your head is evaluating your thoughts by asking simple questions, right? When you think about certain things, ask yourself, is what I'm thinking true? Am I actually thinking about something that's factual and there's evidence of that? Or am I just going on some bunny trail that isn't really true? Are my thoughts helpful? Is this actually helping me to think about this, or is it hurting me? Is it at my own detriment? Are your thoughts appropriate? Right, as Christ followers, we should ask the question, is this thought helping me walk closer with God, or is it dragging me away from God? And are your thoughts complete? I think a lot of us in our own mind, we spend a lot of time telling ourselves stories that aren't actually even true. We don't have all the information, and so we just tell ourselves the story we want to hear, and we don't have complete thoughts. And so how do you examine your thought life? Well, it's really kind of personality driven. One way is journaling. I've always wanted to be a journaler, And every time I've gotten a journal, I lasted about a week, and then all of a sudden the pages just became blank and blank. And so I actually read a creative book 6 months ago that is a unique way, a simple way of journaling that has really helped me process my own thoughts. I'll tell you about it in the podcast. We release it every Tuesday. For some of you, it's as simple as just getting quiet and thinking about what you're thinking about. Sometimes it's sitting with a counselor and allowing them to help process your thoughts. The reality is, for all of us, we have to know what's going on in our head. We have to observe and examine. As we figure out what's in our head, the second strategy is we have to pray those thoughts to God. We have to take the good and the bad, the unwanted, and we have to take it to God. This is what Paul teaches us. He says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. He's teaching us, no matter what you're going through, no matter what chaos fills your mind, take it to God. And we take it to God not because he's just available, but he actually cares. Right? First Peter says, cast all your anxieties on Jesus. Why? Because he cares about you. Because he loves you. So we have to learn to take our thoughts to God. And I think some of us with unwanted, sinful thoughts, we're terrified to take them to God. But I think Esther Smith says it beautifully. Some of you need to know this. As you pray your thoughts to God, he looks at you with love, mercy, and compassion. Isn't it amazing to be able to go to a God who you have thoughts that dishonor him and he doesn't judge you? He loves you despite your thoughts. He's not gonna condemn you. He's gonna say, thanks for sharing. As you pray your thoughts to God, he looks at you with love, mercy, and compassion. His love does not materialize because you had a true, honorable, praiseworthy, or pure thought. It also doesn't disappear because you've sinned with your thoughts or can't seem to escape thoughts filled with suffering. God's love for you is present in the midst of your unwanted thoughts. It's not a reward for changing them. So we have to take our thoughts to God. It's as simple as sitting in the presence of God who is with you, who never forsakes you. It's saying, God, help me process what's going on in my head. Help me, convict me of wrongful thinking and walk with me through this journey. Right? To take your thoughts to God. So we have to know, observe, and examine our thoughts. We have to take them to God. And third, we have to rest our thoughts. This might be a little bit of a new concept. But have you ever wondered, does your mind just need a break? I mean, think about it. Every second, 6 to 50 thoughts. Every day, 8,000 to 50,000 thoughts. Your mind at some point has to be exhausted. And honestly, we live in a culture that like looks down on breaks and slowing down. We live in a culture that says, go, 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 go. And so our mind's just constantly go, go, go without ever having a break. And you want to know how we take a break for our minds? I'll show you exactly what it looks like. We pull out our phone, and we go like this. And so, oh. In fact, the Social Dilemma, which studied how the effect of our phones on our lives, they say this: our phones have become digital pacifiers that help us to avoid difficult feelings and problematic thoughts. We become like babies. Every parent knows that really traumatic experience when you're up at 3 a.m. and you're just searching desperately for the pacifier to get your baby to stop crying. We've become like that. We are like big adults, and you know, we don't put a passy in our mouth, we put a phone to our face. And we put a phone to our face because we don't want to go places that we'd actually have to know what's going on in our mind. How do we rest our thoughts? Well, the Bible teaches us a thing called meditation. And I know meditation can be scary and weird in our culture, but the Bible actually says that we should meditate on Scripture day and night. And the word meditation in the original language referred to a lion chewing on meat, gnawing it over and over again. The Bible says that meditation is not to stop thinking, it's to have focused thinking. It's to remove the noise in your life, the distractions, the multitasking, and to focus in on God and his goodness. But you want to know why I think we don't meditate? Because we use the noise in our life to protect us from going to places in our mind that we don't want to go. We use the noise as a distraction to actually enter a space that we're afraid to go to. We need to learn to rest our thoughts. And all of these three work in unison to the fourth strategy, where we can actually repair and heal our thoughts. And this isn't an easy step. It's not one you can rush, right? We all want a simple and easy and quick solution to all that goes on in our mind. Unfortunately, I don't have that to offer you. This is a process. It's a journey of God working in your mind. And so how do I heal? How do I get to the place where I can begin to allow God to transfer my thoughts in my head? How can he renew me through my mind? And I think one of the ways that we can actually repair our thoughts is by not forgetting the good in the midst of all the bad. Think about this, 75% of what you think is negative. Think about all the thoughts this week that you had that were negative towards you. Some of you as moms, you told yourself you weren't good enough. You don't measure up. Some of you as businessmen or women, tell yourself you're failing. You're not making it. We just constantly tell ourselves negative things that ultimately shape who we are. We have to learn to see God's goodness and his faithfulness despite all the bad. That's why Paul says to Christians, he says, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think, focus on those things. He's not saying ignore and pretend the bad doesn't exist. He's saying don't fixate on it. So I want to do something that might be a little bit difficult for us. I want you to just right now at all our locations, just quickly close your eyes. And I want to take you to a place that maybe you promised never to go to. I want to take you to a place in your mind that might be painful or hard or traumatic. I want you to go to the place in your life that hurt the most, maybe the worst moment in your life, a place that has left scars, a place that is full of pain. I want you to go there right now, as hard as it is. And in that place, I want you to ask this question. Where was God in that moment of your life? Might be a question that you've wondered for so many years. A question where you've looked up to God and you said, where were you? Why didn't you spare me? Why didn't you save me? Why didn't you intervene? Why would you let them go? Where are you, God? And the truth is, the answer to that question that you might have wondered, whether you believe it or not, is God was right there with you. He was right beside you. And when we, as Christ followers, can understand Jesus in all of his goodness and his faithfulness, when we can understand Jesus in the bad of our lives, what it enables us to do is take captive our thoughts. And that begins to heal and repair our minds. To see God's goodness and his faithfulness in the most painful and hardships of our life. And so we're gonna go on this journey over 6 weeks to help us win the battle. And let me just warn you, the last thing I want you to do this morning is walk out of here really excited and be like, you know what, I'm gonna just muster up the strength and the willpower to change. Tomorrow, I'm gonna think differently. Here's the truth, if you do that, you're gonna be frustrated because you're gonna fail miserably. But what I would tell you to do this week is to say to God, I need your help to transform my mind. I can't do it without you. You're the one who does the work. For those of you who are here today, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. God wants to walk with you through the ups and downs of life. He's in the room. He walks with you. He's always there. So as we leave, let me give you some hope. Because of Jesus and through his word, you can win the battle in your mind. Let's pray together. Father, it's easy, so easy to feel excited and moved. But God, when Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday come and our minds are full of unwanted, hard things, we become frustrated and exhausted. And God, I just pray that we would rely on you. God, you are the one who transforms. You are the one who changes. So we pray, God, that you go on this journey with us. That it won't be a quick and easy fix. I might not walk out of here changed tomorrow. But through you working in me, you can and you will renew our minds. Help us in the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.